Holla, 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 holla. It's the Freedom Fiends live show. It is Saturday, June 29th. Man, it's almost July. I'm Nima Vidati representing Austin, Texas. We've also got Mr. Michael W. Dean. How you doing?
I'm madder than a wet hen about these malingering, gold-bricking crumb bums in Congress.
Oh, yeah? What's that hen wet with?
I don't know, man, but I've been watching
Dragnet. You can't say.
I've been watching Dragnet, this cop show from the 70s that I watched when I was like six, you know? And it's fun.
I could never make it past the theme song. The theme song would always blow my mind when I was a kid. Yeah. I was like, wow. And then the show would come on and be like, man, why are those boring guys in suits talking about boring things?
Well, it's all morality plays why you should love the police and unquestioningly do what they say, and why we need more tax money for more cops, and why they should never legalize marijuana. And it was made in conjunction with the LAPD, and the guy who made it
that blew my mind when you told me that too, because I've always made the argument that all these cop dramas and cop shows are one of the biggest problems with American culture and one of the biggest reasons for people loving the police state wholeheartedly. And you were like, yeah, man, Dragnet is produced in conjunction with LAPD of all people.
Yeah, and it was meant to show it kind of invented the police procedural, which, you know, like became CSI and all those shows. But it allegedly very accurately showed police procedure. It probably very accurately showed police procedure when they were following the book instead of beating up hippies with billy clubs for smoking weed, which did happen a lot in the 60s. And a lot of conservatives actually cheer cops who did that. They were like, those damn hippies who came into the Democratic Convention in 1968 and caused problems. And like, first of all, what conservative cares if some people upset the Democrat Convention? But, you know, the Democrat Daley, who now has a dynasty with his son being the gun grabber Daley in office in Chicago, you know, that guy sat in the police to just crack skulls. And there's conservatives who are like, we need to go back to when things were good, when mayors sent cops in to crack skulls. But I just really like watching Dragnet because it's so campy, it's so ridiculous. You know, it's like you can tell it's lying to you nonstop. But I also love that they use terminology and slang that people don't use anymore. Like, I'm madder than a wet hen about these malingering, gold-bricking crumb bums.
Yeah, well, you're a little masochistic when it comes to your viewing habits, man.
I'm masochistic when it comes to language. I kind of like really twisted, weird language like that. I'm not a masochist, apparently, man. I like to laugh at the state, and you have to have some state in your face to laugh at it. And maybe I'm trying to go back to when laughing at the state was good, instead of like they're trying to pass laws against bullying that could be applied to people yelling at politicians, which is happening.
Yeah, and some pretty heinous results of it. There was a story I read in the Daily Caller, which is way more
Daily Caller.
Red State fascist.
Hello. It's the Daily Caller. It sounds like, like something from Batman. Yes, I work at the Daily Caller. Yeah, crumb bums.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't agree with a lot of them, their stories ideologically, but this was an interesting one where it was like an anti-bullying day, and some kid said, well, I don't believe in homosexuality, or I'm morally opposed to it, and he got kicked out of class, which the irony there is they're saying, you know, we should be open to all viewpoints, unless your viewpoint is not politically correct, then get out of my class.
Exactly. That's, I mean, that's one of the places I would agree with weirdos like Rush Limbaugh and Fox News. They occasionally get it right. Stock Clock gets it right once in a while. You know, they do bring out stuff where people aren't treated fairly. They only do it when it's conservatives not being treated fairly. But yeah.
Well, hey, man, the way I view it is whatever is between your ears is your business. What you think and the words that come out of your mouth, that's all fine. As long as your hateful thoughts or bigoted thoughts don't turn into actions, you know, then who cares? I don't care.
You know, an ongoing morality play in those old cop shows and new cop shows is, isn't it horrible how criminals get off on technicalities? And the funny thing is, the technicality is usually something from the Bill of Rights, but conservatives all the time will just say, we love the Bill of Rights. And then they'll say, they need to make it so those crumb bum potheads don't get off on technicalities. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's that same disconnect of they're all for the Bill of Rights when it suits them. But as soon as it doesn't suit them, they're, you know, they basically only care about their own position. There's no moral consistency or philosophical consistency there.
And the moral of the story is the fiends say that you got to be consistent, man. You're not really you don't really have beliefs if they change to suit you. You know, if you hold up absolutes, they have to be absolute for everybody. You know, a lot of years ago, the ACLU got a lot of heat for defending the rights of a bunch of Nazi weirdos who wanted to march. And there were actually, it was a bunch of several Jewish attorneys defending the rights of Nazis to march in the street. And everyone's like, that's crazy. But the point was, if you don't defend it for the people you hate, you're not going to have it for you. And that has turned out to be true, you know?
Yes.
I guess
once you break the principle for one situation, then that leads to it being broken for any situation. Once you cross that threshold, then what's to stop people from keeping anti-Obama people from going in the streets and protesting, or anti-Bush people or anti-war people from going out in the streets and protesting?
And it's kind of interesting, and this is going to lead into our main topic today. It's interesting to me that conservatives love to deify the founders like they're Greek gods or something. But the founders, for the most part, I mean, the ones they like Jefferson and Madison, the good ones, not the crumb bums like Hamilton, but
Hamilton,
you know, the good, the less bad of the good ones, the ones they owned people, but they're great liberty people. You know, that's what they say. I can't really say if you own people that you were a libertarian. But Jefferson and Madison, those guys were not into the idea of having a standing army and policing the world. And the thing is, the Second Amendment was to prevent a standing army. So if you believe you have the right to own guns, which you should, and we're armed right now because you can't do a radio show without a gun, because you got to have the Second Amendment to protect the First Amendment. What if someone comes in and tries to take over your radio station and stop your free speech, man? You got to be able to, you know, and we want our board ops. We're going to put it in our contract that our board ops should be armed too, because they have to be able to defend, you know, the satellite feed. So what is it though with conservatives who want to, who deify the founders, but then say we should be over all around the world with military killing people? That don't make sense, man. That's not what the founders wanted. Oh, AK?
Not at all.
AK?
Yep.
That's our new thing. Instead of okay, we say AK, like the rifle. AK?
It's exceptionalism. That's what it is. It's okay if we're controlling the world because we're us. It's AK. Yeah. It's AK if we control the world because they think
that
No,
wait. We don't use it with that. We only use it when we mean AK. I just realized we have to not. Especially when we're talking about shooting people that have AKs that are defending their homeland. So it's okay. We say... Yeah. Please go again. Please go again.
Well, people make this huge non sequitur, this huge leap that because of the founding fathers, that means we're free and we're good. So it's acceptable for us to have a different set of morals that we abide by. And we can start wars. We can do preventative war. By we, I mean us, you know, U.S. government, Fed government, Washington, D.C. I don't mean the people at all. I'm not blaming the American people necessarily. They think that gives us some kind of special right, and that, you know, if the Russians did it, well, it'd be bad. If the Chinese did it, well, it'd be bad. But if we do it, flags and hot dogs, you know, Ford trucks and stuff.
Yeah. And really, it's kind of bizarre to me that Americans want to be over fighting in the Middle East. And we're going to carefully choose our words here today, especially coming up on July 4th soon when everyone's in patriotic worship the flag state, the god of state mode. And what we mean by that is, like, you know, Nima and I love America, we love living here, we love a lot about it, but when you put a flag up and say worship this and say a pledge to it, you know, my country right or wrong, you're allowing a lot of wrong when you say my country right or wrong or have that opinion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my country right or wrong is what has led to the NSA spying on you 24/7. It's led to the government trying to take your guns away. And a lot of people see that as like, no, the government's been infiltrated by these weird factions. And it's like, no, man, that's what government does. Government gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you say my country right or wrong, you are co-signing the government doing whatever it wants, including to you. And most people didn't care when it was being done in Vietnam or being done in Pakistan or Afghanistan, but they're starting to care when it's being done here. And that's from saying my country right or wrong. And we think it's dangerous to just say my country right or wrong. It leads to a lot of deaths, and it could lead to the death of the patriot saying it. It could lead to them coming and taking your guns and you not being able to defend yourself when someone kicks in your door, you know?
Well, there's a distinction that the proponents of the state always gloss over, and they try to conflate the country and your love of all the cultural things in your country with love of the state. You know, when Ron Paul was describing blowback and saying, hey, there's actual motivations here for terrorist attacks, people were like, oh, no, I will never blame America. We can't blame America. That's not what Ron Paul was saying. He was saying, let's blame the CIA. Let's blame the director of the Pentagon. Let's blame the president and his cabinet. Those are people. Those are employees of the federal government. You can certainly blame them for their bad decisions without blaming somebody, you know, living in Salt Lake City who's a soccer mom or your average Joe just sitting back with a six-pack. But you can certainly blame the people who called the shots that led to the horror of our current situation.
Ron Paul almost gets it right more than any politician, and he's not a politician anymore, so we like him even better now. But he took a lot of heat for saying the truth. I mean, in the when he was debating, explain what happened in the debates.
Well, this is sort of Ron Paul's coming out moment to a lot of people. It was in the 2008 presidential election. There were, you know, the debates for the nomination. And he basically said about 9/11 that, you know, there's this thing called blowback. It's a CIA-defined term. And the people who attacked us on 9/11 or who attacked the World Trade Center on 9/11, they have written manifestos on what their grievances were. And they were all related to specific actions of the U.S. federal government and different agencies therein, and that you know, those are real things that happened, and that's the reason that the terrorists said explicitly that they did the attacks. Not that that justifies them, not that that makes them right, but that that is the motive. You know, in a court case, in a murder case, you always want to know what the motive is. He was just explaining what that motive was, and Giuliani just jaw dropped.
he was like,
no,
9/11, I'm Giuliani, 9/11. Yeah, he couldn't take it. And it was straight up truth, and it was actually some truth that has come out of the CIA. They get it right once in a while too. They have, I mean, they're an the government that at that level is so evil, but they have some of the best and brightest minds recruited to figure things out. And they figured out blowback. They figured out the fact that the U.S. has been over there since, what, the 50s, the 60s, World War One, however you want to, Abraham had two sons, however far you want to take it back. And we'll have more when we come back on the Freedom Fiends World Geopolitical Distance Learning Anarchy Session.
Almost. Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe.
It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe.
There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity.
A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yo, it's Freedom Fiends live on a Saturday. What's up, Mr. W. Dean? I'm Nima Vidati. Yeah.
Hi, this is Mr. Michael Dean.
Hi.
Abraham had 2 sons. I said that when we were going out, and I blamed all world wars going back to, no, I'm not blaming that.
Ancient sibling rivalry.
I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to say what's his name got in trouble for. No, I'm going to say that the trouble in the Middle East has been said to go back to Abraham had 2 sons. And that was told to me. I don't know if that's a thing or not. It was told to me when I was about 12 by some guns and weed Vietnam vet that my sister was dating, who was a guy I kind of looked up to because he was a hippie and he ate natural food and he didn't trust authority. And he had a gun. He had a rifle in his trunk. He said he had it for self-defense. And that was not an uncommon thing of returning vets, of being a hippie with a gun. And that's I kind of like a hippie with a gun. I kind of like that idea. So he told me when I said, what's up with the Middle East? He said, Abraham had 2 sons. And, you know, basically what that goes back to is Abraham in the Bible, in the Old Testament, had 2 sons, Ishmael. Yeah. And the guy who started Islam, or the prophet, Muhammad, is a direct descendant of his. And then on the other side, the son, Isaac.
According to the theology.
Yeah.
Not.
Yes. Yeah. I don't have the video from that, so I can't really tell. His blog has been deleted, so I can't check that. And the birth records were sketchy at best in writing back then. You know, if you want to go to the Canaan Hospital and check the birth records. They seem to have lost them, but this is what is said. And then Isaac was the other son, who is one of the 3 patriarchs of the Israelites. So he led to Judaism and, you know, also to Christianity. So Abraham had 2 sons is the saying. Why there's trouble in the Middle East? It goes back to 2 warring factions that actually predate those religions. And that's an oversimplification of it. But basically what I'm saying is when people say we got to go over there and get them Muslims because they're horrible, and act like, first of all, it's all of them because of a few of them. Second of all, as if the United States has no complicity in them being angry and wanting to hurt Americans, which we're going to get into. And thirdly, as if it's a new thing, man. I mean, go back to like Lawrence of Arabia, you know, first World War in modern times. I mean, it goes back. It's basically the West wanting to go over there and take stuff. And the stuff is mainly oil, which, you know, when they first discovered it in America, in Texas and Pennsylvania in the 1800s, it was a bad thing if you struck oil. If you're trying to dig for water on your ranch and you hit that horrible toxic stuff, came up and poisoned your water, you were out of luck, man. You were not doing well. But apparently they found a use for it, and now it's a use that is enough to have a standing army over murdering people for trying to defend their homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, also, I like to go back to Ben Stone's thing that he posits that the first state was in Jericho. And I would blame statism, or at least the part of statism that holds that people are nations and they're collectives. And when the leader of a nation commits atrocities, then everybody under that leader is also responsible for it. And collective punishment is necessary. And we're going to go on through a list of some of the atrocities that I found more relevant to the discussion and that maybe are a little bit less known. And some of those atrocities are Middle East on Middle East violence, you know, different factions and nations and conceived of collectives within the Middle East that killed other collectives within the Middle East just because they were different and the state was on a rampage about the other.
Yeah, what we're trying to prove is when you try to drop mad science, we saw what happened to Ron Paul. He told the truth, and the guy running against him was like, you can't say that. That's anti-American. And it's like, we're not anti-American. We're not anti-state even. We are anti-collectivist and pro-individualist, and states are really good by definition. at eliminating the individual to the point of eliminating the individual if they need to.
Right.
But, right. you know, eliminating of individuality in favor of collectivism. And that is the that is what a state is. The state is everybody over. You know, that's another disconnect. Like a lot of patriot conservatives who are our listeners, and we go shooting with them. We're friends with them. We see them at the gun range. We see them hunting. A lot of them are like, I want individual rights and the government wants to crush that. But still they're saying, I love America. I'm, you know, what is the disconnect with that? You're saying, I believe in this monolith that takes my individuality to protect my individuality. That doesn't make sense to me, man.
Doesn't make sense at all. No, and the reason we're getting into this, at least one of the big reasons, are the statements written in the boat from the Boston bombing suspect, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but we'll go into a little bit to what he said and explain why that's relevant to our current discussion when we get back from the market.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yep. It's the Freedom Fiends live. This is Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean here. But before I let Michael talk, oh man.
Yo, all right. Yo.
Okay, so after I let Michael say yo, we're gonna go ahead and play this CBS News Online clip. The Boston bombing suspect, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, however you say it in Chechen, was actually indicted, and some newsworthy things came out about what he's written or what he wrote when he was hiding in the boat. So here we go.
Federal prosecutors say the Tsarnaev brothers built their pressure cooker bombs over a two-month period, beginning in February. They used black powder from mortar shells purchased at this New Hampshire fireworks store and electrical components bought over the internet. They downloaded bomb-making instructions from Al-Qaeda's online magazine. And the indictment alleges Dzhokhar and Tamerlan Tsarnaev coordinated their attack, talking by cell phone, just seconds before remotely detonating the bombs. In addition to the bombings, Dzhokhar also faces charges in the murder of an MIT policeman. Officer Sean Collier was killed just 2 hours before the Tsarnaev's escape bid was disrupted by a shootout with Watertown police. Tamerlan was killed in the confrontation, and 20 hours later, Dzhokhar was captured while hiding in a nearby boat. It was there on the wall of the boat police also found an apparent motive. As CBS News first reported in May, a badly wounded Dzhokhar Tsarnaev had written a jihadi screed protesting the killing of Muslims by U.S. troops. According to the indictment, Dzhokhar wrote, "I can't stand to see such evil go unpunished. We Muslims are one body. You hurt one, you hurt us all." His message concluded, "Stop killing our innocent people, and we will stop." Now, 17 of the 30 charges.
Yeah.
Stop killing our innocent people, and we will stop. You know, when I first heard these quotes, I asked you, you know, how do we know that's really what's on there? And you said, well, it doesn't really support the case of the statists or the case of the warmongers. If the quote is, stop killing our innocent people and we will stop, then you would think if you want to end all terrorism, you would just end American or United States involvement in the Middle East as far as drone attacks, occupations, material support for terrorists, like giving guns and small arms and maybe bigger arms in the future to come to Syrian rebels. I mean, that doesn't really help their case, does it?
Aren't Syrian rebels Al-Qaeda basically just across the border?
Yeah, from what a lot of reporters in the area are saying, especially people like Pepe Escobar, as many as half could be not even Syrians, just jihadists from around the area that migrated to Syria. A lot of them, people who were fighting American forces or United States forces in Iraq, just drive a few miles across the border and lend their arms and their hands to the Syrian rebels.
I mean, Charlie Wilson, the American senator, basically created that by arming them. He was a Democrat, and he did it with Reagan's complicity, possibly. It's not known, but you know, that's the kind of bipartisanship you got to worry about. Basically, when the Democrats and Republicans agree on anything, you're in trouble. And we've been saying that forever. I heard Free Talk Live say it yesterday, and it's true, man. The worst things are the ones they agree on.
And yep. Well, and you see here that what Dzhokhar Tsarnaev says, his quote, when you attack one Muslim, you attack all Muslims. It's wrong. He's wrong. He's not
and,
right.
And most Muslims don't feel that way. And a lot of Fox neocon types like to claim they do and take something out of context from the great books of different religions and say, see. And then, you know, people take it out of context, the Old and New Testament, and say, see. But really, mm-hmm. What that guy wrote in the boat is what most Americans who support intervention, right, military intervention around the world are saying. They're like, those people from those countries bombed our towers. Let's wipe those countries off the map. And I see that in comments all the time in newspaper articles.
Just like the things that the left and right agree on are the most dangerous, the things that these two factions, the jihadis and people like Barack Obama agree on,
George
Bush agree on, because this quote right here, when you attack one Muslim, you attack all Muslims, it's collectivizing. You know, there are plenty of Muslims that have never even, don't even really know what America is and don't care and just want to feed their kids and feed their goats. But when Bush said, quote, if you're not with us, you're against us, that's the same concept. There's plenty of Americans who don't care in just the same fashion. And why should innocent people that die, people that don't have any ties to the foreign policy of either groups, be murdered just because they were born in a specific location?
There's people in Afghanistan who have shot American troops coming onto into their land who thought they were shooting Russians. They were like, well, it used to be the Russians here, and we see people in modern military garb with modern rifles. It must be the Russians coming back.
Right.
They don't even know. They don't hate America. They hate people coming into their land and acting like the police of the world. And the thing about what this guy wrote is what it basically comes down to, and a lot of people's response to it of, that's why we got to go kill all the Muslims. It comes back to like, they killed us, so we kill them, because they killed us, because we killed them, because they killed us, because we killed them, back to Abraham had two sons.
Yeah. Well, and Obama, of course, furthers it. He's a bit more verbally adept, so I couldn't find any real telling quotes that I could link back to this. I'm sure there are some out there, but they were harder to find. But his actions say, if you look like a militant, we will kill you from far away, like we're some cowards or something. And what I'm referring to is the signature strikes, which did start under Bush, but increased vastly under Barack Obama. And that's when, if you are wearing things that look like things that a militant would wear, if you're carrying a gun while you're herding your sheep like any rancher would, if you're doing jumping jacks or climbing on monkey bars, then you look like a terrorist and we'll kill you just because you look like people.
So basically, if you want to be safe, you have to act like the average American. You should be sitting in your hut in a comfy chair watching TV that they want you to see, eating American junk food.
you should be watching Monday Night Football.
And that's what they're trying to do in a lot of places. I mean, that's what they're trying to do, you know, in the rebuilding of Iraq. They're trying to make it America. They're putting in McDonald's. They're putting in the comforts of cable TV. And, you know, they'll probably have an IKEA pretty soon if they don't already.
Well, see, I don't mind that kind of stuff if it's not imposed.
I love that stuff
from military action. But I mean, there's pictures coming out of Iran of hamburger joints, and these are things that are Iranian entrepreneurs building things that look like Western shops because those things sell. Because people, you know, around the world, who doesn't like a good hamburger?
The Halliburger.
You know,
the Halliburger.
The Halliburger. Who doesn't like cheap Swedish furniture? You know, everybody likes that stuff. So these are the kinds of things that are cooperation.
I'm sitting on some right now.
There you go. And when people say, oh, well, you people, you libertarians, you're just isolationists, that is so far from the truth. And I think the best way I've heard it is saying that somebody's a hermit because they don't go throw windows at their neighbor's windows to break them.
Windows at their neighbor's windows?
Yes. Rocks. Throw rocks at their neighbor's windows
to
break them.
You're an isolationist if you don't go break your neighbor's windows because he might do something someday.
Although throwing a window at a window would probably break it as well.
Speaking of throwing rocks at windows, I want to pimp a little thing about tomorrow. We have an interview with Mike Vandebouw, who is a very controversial figure and is known for a lot of things. One of them is making an off-the-cuff suggestion that people should throw rocks through the windows of Democratic Party offices if they try to take our guns away as a warning. I don't co-sign it, but he's a very interesting figure. And he did also, the thing that I want to talk to him a lot about is breaking. He and another guy that we like that we're going to interview, David Kadria, broke the Fast and Furious story. They broke the news that the Department of Justice was letting the ATF send weapons to drug cartels in Mexico, possibly to try to discredit American gun ownership. That's our interview tomorrow, Mike Vandebouw. So anyway.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. But
back to tyranny today throughout the world and tyranny yesterday.
Tyranny yesterday is, I think, what we're going to get to now. You know, this concept of the other and the concept that we're some kind of homogenous thing, you know, nation states thinking that, hey, we're all together. We must fight the other because they're all together.
Coalition of the willing. Coalition of the willing. I got a coalition.
That is so old, and it's so square. And
now Obama's got it.
He does. But I wanted to go through some historical examples of genocide and atrocities.
You go, Nima. You go. Go, Nima.
So many
go, Nima.
Out there. So I am by no means getting to them all, but these are some things I found interesting to me, at least. One thing is I didn't realize that the Western Hemisphere was one big genocide for a long time. Did you know that it was estimated the population drop from when Columbus landed till around 1900 was from about 50 million indigenous people in the Western Hemisphere to 1.8 million?
Well,
like 96% decrease.
They wanted that land, and, you know, there were some people using it for some reason. Using our land, we had to get rid of them. That's the attitude.
Well,
manifest,
you know,
destiny.
It was mostly disease that killed off a big portion of this.
Brought but some by the visitors,
Some people argue that some of the disease was intentional, you know, handing out smallpox
germ
blankets,
warfare.
Things like that. Yeah, and that's highly contested and debated, so I'm not really going to make a judgment call one way or the other.
Yeah, talk about the ones we know that are fact.
Well, there are facts that do show that there was this sense of collectivism and attacking the other just because they're the other, regardless of whether or not that specific individual did anything wrong to you. But, you know, they were called savages. The indigenous population was called savages. They were treated as such, as subhumans. There were death marches. Those are facts, like the Trail of Tears. You know, Andrew Jackson marching the Cherokees thousands of miles from their home to basically a concentration camp, because that's really what the reservations were concentration camps. There were massacres of women and children, all sorts of horrible atrocities that do point to, aside from the disease killing all these millions of people, that do point to this concept of, well, they're the other, they're all the same, they're all against us, so if you kill their tiny little babies, that's okay. And this is not just Western powers, you know. So my next example is the Ottoman Turkish government's genocide of Armenians, which is one of the biggest genocides that people can point to, and it's not really well known. So I'm going to read a little bit of the wiki entry here. The Ottoman government's systematic extermination of its minority Armenian subjects from their historic homeland in the territory constituting the present-day Republic of Turkey took place during and after World War I, was implemented in two phases. One, the wholesale killing of the able-bodied male population through massacre and forced labor, and two, the deportation of women and children, the elderly and the infirm, on death marches to the Syrian desert. So I guess they felt like that was some kind of moral thing for them to do. We'll actually kill the men, but we'll just put the women and children on a death march into the desert while they'll die anyway. Now, somewhere between 1 and 1.5 million Armenians were killed. And it wasn't just Armenians. It was anybody who wasn't in the proper collective, the Turks. Assyrians, Greeks, Christian ethnic groups were also massacred during this. And we'll have more on these horrible atrocities when we get back from the market.
And on how those who ignore the past are destined to repeat it, as George Satayana said.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live. It is June 29th. I'm Nima Vidati, representing that Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean over Holla. There in Beast Lake. How Holla. You doing, Michael?
I'm broadcasting.
Holla!
I am broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America in Beast Lake, Wyoming, which is named for its many salt natural salt licks where the deer and the antelope come play and lick the salt. And it's down the street from Beast Lake, which is the Great Salt Lake of Wyoming, which forms the Beast Licks of Beast Lake, Wyoming. How you doing, Nima?
Yes, doing well. We were going over a few statist massacres and atrocities and pointing out that it's not one specific culture, it's not one specific nationality that commits atrocities.
It's the state.
It's the state. And I think that that's the point we're going to tie it up with in the end. But here's a good one.
You know what? Wait, Nima. You know what? Uh-huh. State speech is hate speech.
Hate speech.
And we have buttons that say that. If you go to freedomfiends.com, freedom, foxtrot, echo, November, Sierra.com, and click on the link at the top that says buttons, you can get the state speech is hate speech buttons.
Right, right. And the state is a philosophical concept. So don't call us hypocrites because we're being collectivist against the state. Because when we say the state, we don't mean your average worker in the state or your average politician. The state is a mindset that is held by both Barack Obama and anybody who supports him, or anybody who supports Mitt Romney, for that matter. The state is the concept. And so you can attack an idea and not be a collectivist, because we're saying that the concept of the state is incorrect and immoral. To that point, we have Operation Lentil here. Interesting name, but this is, I think, relevant because it was a Soviet death march of Chechens in the 1940s. And, of course, the Boston bombing suspects were Chechen. But this is a massacre of Chechens for different reasons. So we're talking about it began in 1944 in Soviet Union, when the entire population of Checheno-Ingushita was summoned to local party buildings where they were told they were going to be deported as punishment for their alleged collaborations with the Germans. Again, collective punishment for alleged crimes of individuals. The inhabitants were rounded up and imprisoned in Studebaker trucks. They were sent to Siberia, and often when they resisted, it was met with slaughter. In one such instance, about 700 people were locked in a barn and burned to death. This kind of stuff happened throughout the North Caucasus Mountains, and people estimate about 700 caucus. It's got an extra U.S. there. Caucasus.
Yeah, it is. But the word caucus comes from that, the idea of a political group. Kind of interesting.
And Caucasian, too.
It's where the white Russians come from. Yeah, the term white Russian means the Caucasian, the lighter-skinned people from that region. It's all just, we're all just one big wonderful family, and that's why we shouldn't kill each other, and I agree. So let's go on.
All right, we'll go on. So next up, we have the Nanking Massacre. You know, I really wanted to spread our list of atrocities around the world here. And this was also known as the Rape of Nanking. And this was a mass murder and war rape that occurred during the six-week period following the Japanese capture of Nanking, which was the former capital of the Republic of China. During December 1937, about hundreds of thousands of Chinese civilians and disarmed soldiers were murdered by soldiers of the Imperial Japanese Army. The estimates are between 250,000 and 300,000 people killed.
Hey, you got anything on England's involvement in India? Because I have a statement I want to make. Is basically my attitude about the world is I want to be like Gandhi with a gun. Because I'm a peace-loving guy, man. I don't want to talk about war or fighting or... You know, burglars stepping to me with a, you know, but it's, I used to just think about peace and love and music and stuff all the time, which I'd like to still be thinking about, man. And I'm a peace loving guy. And I'm like, hey, we are all of one thing. We are one family. But if you step to me, I'm going to shoot you. If you step to me with a weapon, I'm going to shoot you. That's Gandhi with a gun, basically, man. And that's what I like to say and like to be and like to encourage. Gandhi with a gun.
There you go, man. And we'll have plenty more coming up here. You know, I'm going to get to Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which I do consider war crimes and atrocities, and I'll go on a little bit about that. And I don't have a statement on Britain and India, although I could look that up during the break, but I do have an example of Pakistani democide. Actually, East Pakistan, which is now called Bangladesh. So we'll get into that a little bit, and we'll have plenty more examples. And again, we're going to tie this up on the concept that these crimes aren't because of a specific culture. They're because of a specific mindset of statism. And we'll have morphines coming up after we get back from the market.
Morphine? There's morphine at the market?
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's badquaker.com.
Freedom Fiends Live! Yeah, that's us. We're the Freedom Fiends. It is Saturday, June 29th. I'm Nima Vedati over here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean. Go ahead and say hi to the people, Michael.
Huh? I'm stealing time from the Fiends. I'm ordering more Fiends buttons, including the, answering questions with our button designer, Krizzle's Buttons, who I will give a shout out to. Free advertising for Krizzle's Buttons. If you want buttons made for your organization, go to Krizzle's Buttons, and I'm ordering more of the buy sheep for sheep on sheep button we're having made, which is about the fact that the U.S. Constitution is actually written on sheepskin. All right, go on with your bad self and your world history.
Bad self. All right,
Gandhi Gandhi with a gun. Gandhi with a gun.
Gandhi
That'd be
with
good.
A gun
good name for a punk Michael rock says band, man. Call your punk rock. Anybody wants a name for their punk rock band, you can have that. Gandhi with a gun.
Well, I guess the interesting thing and why Gandhi didn't have a gun is he was participating in civil disobedience. He wanted to change the state, not get rid of the state. And he realized that he had to be open to the state attacking him in order to make his point. So a little bit of a difference there. Now, because what would Gandhi have done? If Gandhi would have had a gun when people came and tried to remove him or whatever it was, and he actually used the gun for its intended use of self-defense, then it would no longer be considered non-violent protest by the British officials. It would have been considered an outright rebellion. So there's some interesting distinctions there. But next on my list of atrocities here, you know, I've mostly gone on non-US enacted atrocities, of which there are plenty. We're not trying to make the United States government out to be the only bad guy here. You know, the state, amongst all over the world, the state is the bad guy. But one really horrible example that I really can't leave out of any list of atrocities is Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know, John Stewart.
But Nemo, that ended World War II. It was a good thing, wasn't it?
No, that's actually a historical inaccuracy. The Japanese had been firebombed before, and that's an atrocity too, so we can't really leave that out. I believe more people died in firebombing of Tokyo than died in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. This was just an outright bombardment of civilians in major Japanese cities. You know, also very horrible. But the Japanese were ready to surrender. They had lost due to the island hopping, they had lost the Pacific War. They were ready to go. You know, it wasn't apparently going to be an unconditional surrender. You know, they wanted some terms. But even after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there was a negotiation and there were terms of the surrender. It wasn't completely unconditional. But Hiroshima and Nagasaki, those were, you know, the justification is they were involved in military production. But they bombed the city centers. You know, they bombed actual people that, you know, just lived there, just lived and worked and made sushi or whatever they did. And hundreds of thousands of people just incinerated in an instant just because they happened to have been born in Japan at the wrong time and in the wrong place. And I don't think you can call the indiscriminate killing of people with something like an atomic bomb anything but a war crime,
especially
or an atrocity.
Since most leaders of countries, especially ones that tend more towards tyrannical and kill them all, those leaders don't care if you kill a million of their citizens. They don't care at all, man. They're always like, we're willing to do that. Reagan said, you know, what's 10 million dead if it's keeping out the Russians? That's a line in a Dead Kennedy song. And, you know, it was about the possibility of a limited thermonuclear war. By the way, yeah. I saw a movie. I want to digress for a moment here. The movie Failsafe. People should go see it. It's a remake of a movie from the 60s that starred, what was Jane Fonda's dad's name? Henry Fonda. That was the original. And it's the same exact plot as Dr. Strangelove, but it's not a comedy. It's heart-wrenching. It's really well done. It's done in the style of a live black-and-white TV show from the 60s, and it's done really well, and it stars Hank Azaria, Don Cheadle, Noah Wiley, Harvey Keitel, George Clooney, Brian Dennehy, Richard Dreyfuss, and Sam Elliott. Now, that is a cast, man. Go see this movie, Failsafe, the remake from the year 2000. Amazing. And, you know, we really like to tie things into history here because depending on, we have a wide variety of age of listeners, everything from like 15 to, you know, probably 60 is our range. But a lot of people who are younger, you know, 30 or younger, don't know anything about the 60s and what led to here. And the Cold War, you know, the 50s and 60s was a mind-blowing thing. And I grew up in the tail end of it. I grew up in duck and cover. They had drills in grade school where we were told to duck and cover under our desk in case there was a nuclear attack. Now, that's ridiculous because that wouldn't protect you from a nuclear attack. It would, you know, you'd still be fried. But that's what they did to, A, teach us fear of the other, the Russians, and B, act like the government had a solution, hiding under your desk from a nuke. So that's what I grew up with, man. But go see the movie Failsafe if you want to really, I would say, accurate view of a possible scenario that actually almost happened a couple times. So go see Failsafe. Now back to Nima.
Yeah. There were definitely some times we were on the brink as the human population, on the brink of a nuclear holocaust that was more than just Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And, you know, that kind of is a good segue into one of my next examples, which was an indirect consequence of this nuclear armament. There's a place called the Chagos Archipelago, and this is kind of little known about, but there's a U.S. naval base there. It was originally belonged to British Imperial Forces, but a group of basically former slaves had sort of taken it back, and they had a thriving culture and a society, and this was their place where they were former slaves that were living free. They had sort of homesteaded the land in an almost Lockean sense, and they were, you know, it was kind of their little island paradise, and the British just wrote on a piece of paper that it now belonged to the Americans, and the United States government wanted to use it as basically a base for projecting military power via nuclear weapons, and forcibly removed the entire population. According to Wiki, between 67 and 73, the entire population was involuntarily removed from the islands and relocated to Mauritius and the Seychelles to make way for a new joint United States-United Kingdom military base on Diego Garcia. And there's some collectivism here that's sort of unstated in the Wiki page, but David Vine actually wrote a book about this, and I heard him interviewed on Scott Horton. And the natives, the former inhabitants of this island, they're not allowed near the islands anymore, even though that's pretty much their property. That should be theirs. But they're not even allowed near the islands yet. Rich people in yachts can go take vacations at this island paradise. They can go dock their boat near the naval base and take 2 week to a month holidays in this island paradise because they're part of this sort of Western elite that get to use the land. So I think that's another interesting study in collectivism and in the state basically ruining individuals' lives
and
just because they're in a place that the state needs to further its own power.
To make it clear, we are not Occupy Wall Street types. We have nothing against people being rich. We weren't saying rich like, oh, those rich people, but it just happens to be that, you know, someone has decided we're against corporatism, which is not capitalism. We like capitalism. Corporatism is capitalism with government involvement. And most people who say they're small government Republicans or believe in the free market really don't, because they always want tariffs. They always want taxes. They always want regulations. To us, a free market is like, you can walk up to anybody on the street and sell them a bag of weed or a gun, you know, and that's free market. And a lot of people think that's too free of a market. But really, like, the term too free, how free is too free? You know, I say that most people who say America's great because it's free, you know, there's a meme going around. It's, I don't know if it's Photoshopped and fake or real, but it's a sign in a park for the upcoming July 4th. And it's like July 4th celebration park rules. And it's like all backpacks will be searched. You will be under constant surveillance. And if it's not a real sign, it could be, maybe they just wouldn't tell you about it, but I'm sure in this America now, it's they got cameras watching you everywhere. And there's going to be people saying, "Merca, we're free," while consenting to be searched, while consenting to give up right. their constitutional rights. How free is that, man? That ain't free. And
not
that's
free at all.
What happened? How did we get here? People voted and let people left and right rule them and decided that, sheep decided, since something that was written down on some sheepskin a long time ago, decided they needed some wolves to guard the sheep and protect them from the other sheep. So that's what led to it. So go back to explaining the atrocities that go along with that.
They took the state pill and not the fiend pill, and I'm really glad you brought up that distinction. It reminds me of a really great quote by Marjan Satrapi, who's an Iranian writer. She wrote a book called Persepolis. It's a graphic novel.
Iranian?
Really great.
Nima, you're quoting Iranians? Oh, wait, you are an Iranian-American. I forgot. Sorry, go ahead.
This quote from her explains it perfectly. She says, quote, "If I have one message to give the secular American people, it's that the world is not divided into countries. The world is not divided between East and West. You are American. I am Iranian. We don't know each other, but we talk together, and we understand each other perfectly. The difference between you and your government is much bigger than the difference between you and me. And the difference between me and my government is much bigger than the difference between you and me. And our governments are very much the same. She sort of sums it up all, yeah. right there, right? I mean, the average Joe in America, Iran, Iraq, Russia, Australia, Japan, anywhere, the average Joe has more in common with each other than they do with any of their government officials or cabinet-level office members or anything like that, or bureaucrats. It's the bureaucrats that are the enemy. That's the real divide. And not even in a collectivist, you know, it's us against them, but it's because they're the ones empowered by the state. And that's the most important divide. It's not skin color. It's not language. It's not wealth even. But it's kind of what, remember Robin Kerner, who did Blue Republicans back during the last presidential election? He called it the Heinlein. And that was in reference to a Robert Heinlein quote. And Robert Heinlein's quote is, "The human race divides politically into those who want people to be controlled and those who have no such desire." And I stand under the banner of those who have no such desire. I don't want people to be controlled, and that's why I take the fiend pill and not the state pill.
There's a quote from Jim Goad, who I like to quote a lot. That's very similar to the Persepolis quote, but it's from about 15 or 20 years earlier, and it's about racial divisions. And Jim Goad almost gets it right. He's almost a libertarian, but he kind of leans a little socialist. But it's a good quote. It's basically, he says that racism was invented to keep the poor from killing the rich. And he said that a black guy and a white guy working on an assembly line have far more in common than the white guy on the assembly line has with the white owner of the factory. And because of government intervention, that's true. Because of corporatism, that's true.
Yep. And we'll be back with more after we go to the real market.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
The Freedom Fiends live. Michael's over there hollering in the back. That's Michael W. Dean. Please say the whole thing. I'm Nima Vidati, also known as Nima V, and this is Freedom Fiends live.
I had a cat issue. Here at the windowless bunker, you know, we try to make it like a home. It has beds, it has shelves, it has, you know, Comrex units and mixers and graphic equalizers, just like my home. And, you know, we have cats, and we bring the cats when we come out to the bunker to practice bunkering. And we bought new sheets for the bed, and it's black. They're black sheets. They're really nice. And I was just using sticky tape to remove white cat hair from these black sheets. It was like gray. The sheets were gray from one day of cats re-beasting them. We call it the re-beastinista. Whenever you remove cat hair from something, you know, we should get an advertiser who has some product for removing cat hair, because I will do an endorsement if it's good, because I would be a user of it.
Yeah, I use the lint rollers a lot, but sometimes they just don't get the job done, man.
Just sticky tape. I mean, a lint roller is full after like going back and forth four times in my home.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, me too. Yeah, whenever I vacuum, I can get about 4 square feet before I have to empty out the filter because it's just filled to the brim with mostly dog hair because I've got an Alaskan Malamute and he just sheds.
The Rebeastanista. So going back to things that are tyrannical in the night and the day and throughout the centuries, what you got for us there, Nima Vidati? You got a little clip you're going to play, don't you?
I do. So here's the thing. All of these historical examples of atrocities, it doesn't appear that enough people have learned from them. And I'm also sure that when a lot of these atrocities were going on, the nationality, the state that was committing these atrocities were probably justifying it to their citizens. And people probably either didn't know enough about it or didn't care, so they just sort of let it happen. This same thing is going on with the modern United States and Mr. Barack Obama. But Nima,
he didn't start it. Bush started it. So it's okay. I've heard Democrats say that, man. It blows my mind.
They say that, yeah. But they're wrong. And the people who are right are people who call him out on
it. Well, they're not wrong. He didn't start it, but he continues it and could end it with the stroke of a pen.
There you go. But we have here Claire Daly.
He built that, man.
He continued. He built that. Yeah, he painted it and put a nice sign.
He homesteaded it. He said, "Oh, nice war machine you've got here. I think I'll turn up the volume on it and put some shiny new paint on it."
Yeah, exactly. So here's an Irish parliamentarian, Claire Daly, and her take on it right here.
Of course, the biggest irony of all, the protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, "Those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back." Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal. He has just announced his decision to supply arms to the Syrian opposition, including the jihadists, fueling the destabilization of that region and continuing to undermine secularism and knockback conditions for women. This is the man who is, in essence, stalling the Geneva peace talks by trying to broker enhanced leverage for the Syrian opposition by giving them arms, and to hell with the thousands more who lose their lives or the tens of thousands more who will be displaced as this war goes on. This is the man who has facilitated a 200% increase in the use of drones, which have killed thousands of people, including hundreds of children. And you, Taoiseach, you are the one who's turned a blind eye on these activities. You've talked about the G8 being an opportunity to showcase Ireland. But is it not a reality that you have showcased us as a nation of pimps, prostituting ourselves in return for a pat on the head? To be honest with you, we were really speculating this morning whether you were going to deck the cabinet out in leprechaun hats decorated with a bit of stars and stripes to really mark abject humiliation here.
So yeah, that's her. Like, what should we be doing here? Should we be dressing up like leprechauns and doing a song and dance?
Yeah,
so that you can get the benefits of the empire.
I love her. I love this lady. And why? First of all, why isn't there more stuff like this in Congress? Whenever this happens in America, you know, in Congresses around the world, when this happens in America, you know, it's usually Dennis Kucinich speaking to an empty room or Ron Paul doing it a lot more calmly, and then people say he is not a patriot because he told the truth. This lady, man, this is so unbridled. And to be fair or to be truthful, she's a member of the Socialist Party. So I don't agree with her politics, but I say go commie go with something like this, man. And we'll talk about why socialism and communism are the same thing when we get back on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
La la la, etc., etc. You know what it is. It's the Freedom Fiends live. And in the last segment, we were playing a little bit of Claire Daly's freestyle in the Parliament of Ireland.
Go, commie, go.
Go, commie.
I hate commies. What I said was I hate commies, but in this situation, man, go, commie, go. She was just dropping mad truth, and then it gets to the end, and she sounds commie. She's a socialist, and a lot of people have criticized, whenever you say commie and socialist and conflate them like I do, people go, no, socialism's good. God, they're different. You're stupid. You don't know the difference, but I know the difference, and I maintain that they are different lines on the same continuum of state control. And explain why you agree with that, Nima.
Well, because it's still state control of the economy, of the means of production. You know, I think the distinction that people who are pro-socialist make in their heads is that it's a little bit more democratic, a little bit more progressive. And in the end, the people get to decide what free things they want to purchase with stolen money. You know, they point to health care and roads and public education. But communist states, they provided those things too. They just also provided a giant police state. And people think they can have their cake and eat it too, and have their state control of the economy without it leading to a police state. And I say no. The Soviet type of economy is just the end result.
And it's come to America, and it's only in spots here and there to that extent. But, you know, the door-to-door searches in Boston is an example, and I'd say the TSA is an example. And really, I think all governments are socialist. I mean, I think all Republicans are socialist. You know, I mean, George Bush was a socialist. Reagan, the god that people who are conservative worship, he was a socialist, man. He raised taxes and he added gun laws and he added, you know, government takeover of healthcare to an extent, to a smaller extent than Obama did. But
well, hey, government police departments are socialist organizations. Sheriff's departments are socialist organizations. A lot of fire departments are socialist organizations. Departments of Fish and Hogs and Roads and Bridges, those are socialist organizations.
I was talking to a guy, you know, they say who would build the roads. I actually talked this week in person to a neighbor of mine, someone who lives in my neighborhood, who built the roads. He was an engineer for 45 years for the Wyoming Department of Roads and Bridges, it's called. And he said, this is just one tiny thing that was kind of funny, and he said to me, he said that when they spread manure on state lands, you know, around roads and bridges, which they do once a year here sometimes for fertilizer for the plants to make them look pretty. He said they first have to send the Wyoming manure up to Billings, Montana to be certified and then truck it back down here. So literally, who would build the roads? People who have to certify poo. Talk about, you know, that'd be done differently in a free market, a truly free market. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this Irish parliamentarian, she goes off and gets so much right. But we'll play this last little bit at the end here, and then we'll talk about what she gets wrong
to intervene in this situation. And the last point I'll make is that people in this country are very fond of our American brothers and sisters. And I think we stand far more shoulder to shoulder with them by making valid criticisms of their president, who has broken his election promises, rather than just pimping this nation as a tax haven for their corporations. I'm sure the Americans would far prefer if their multinationals paid their taxes at home rather than offshore here, so they could develop their health care, so they wouldn't be wasting money on arms being sent to slaughter people in other countries.
Thank you, Deputy.
So there you go. She gets it so right on when she makes the distinction between the people and the state or the government there. You know, she says, you know, the people, I stand with them, they stand with me, I'm sure, in calling out and criticizing Barack Obama. But then she goes on to say, we should use this tax money for other purposes, you know, healthcare and such, rather than use the tax money for slaughtering innocent civilians.
Why not just stop stealing tax money? That's, yes, you know, exactly. It seems like there's this false dichotomy that's been created by two-party or even multi-party systems like in Ireland, where you have to choose either between you know, the conservatives who want to steal your tax money and blow stuff up, or the liberals, the socialists, the communists, who want to steal tax money and feed the children. And, you know, it's really what that has led to is to a state where both parties want to do the same thing all over the world, where you've got, you know, Barack Obama who wants to steal money to feed the children, but he also wants to steal tax money to blow up children in other countries. And the Republicans are the same way. And the audacity of Obama going into Northern Ireland and telling children, you don't want to be violent. You know, he's basically having a kind of soda straw view of Irish politics and Northern Ireland politics and Irish, what the Republican means something different in Ireland. Republican means IRA. He's basically saying, don't join the IRA. Don't join the people who are blowing things up. Stand peacefully with our governments together, blowing things up somewhere else. That's what he's saying, man. The audacity. He called his book The Audacity of Hope. I'd say, man, the audacity of that guy to go into Northern Ireland and say that stuff. Man, what a ignoring history, or like co-opting it for your own good, your own evil plans, man. And she was right in calling him out on that. She's like, I don't want bombs going through Shannon. Shannon's that area. She's like, I don't want bombs American bombs being trucked through Shannon on their way to the Middle East. And go commie go with that. She's right about that. But at the end, she it's like, yeah, go be a commie go. We need to use this stolen money for the children. No, the market will take care of the children. Just get out of the way, lady.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I made this point. I used to make it when we were, you know, just doing a podcast years ago. But I think I can reprise it here for our live radio show in that I would say 100% of people in the United States and probably in other countries, 100% of people disagree with what their tax money is spent on in at least one regard. So 100% of people are upset about where their stolen money is going to. So why don't those 100% people just get on board with the idea that, hey, maybe the stealing of the money in the first place is what's wrong?
Yeah.
And if I, as an individual, want children to be fed and housed and educated, I can send my own check to that.
More efficiently.
Yep. There's been studies that something like 80% when it goes through bureaucratic channels is ate up by things like pension plans and benefits for the bureaucratic workers. You know, something like 80%. You know, if you want to send and private charities have a much lower threshold of that, and then you don't even have to go through private charities sometimes. You can donate directly to the school, to the private school, or directly to the educator that is educating, you know.
I've done that with Kofi. I've done that with Kofi, and my dad's Rotary Club did that with Kofi, our friend in Ghana, Africa, who runs a really low budget school for teaching liberty in Ghana, which is a country which, you know, got away from England's socialist imperialism, and became democratic and is quickly literally heading back to socialism there. And he runs a little school. You can go to African Youth Peace Call is the name of the site. Just search that on Google, go to Africa Youth Peace Call. And it's, you can send him money through an organization called the ISIL in San Francisco, International Society for Individual Liberty. And it's not a scam. It's sending money to Africa. But people I know from the ISIL have gone over to Ghana and sat with Kofi, and he's legit. Mm. And, you know, he does more with $300 than like the government funding a school can do with $300,000. I'm serious. Right. That guy is amazing.
$300 for the government bureaucracy funding a school would be for donuts for the educators in the morning or something like that.
No, it'd be donuts for the people who have to come through and certify the school 8 times a year. It'd be their donuts for one day. And he literally like runs a school, runs camps, runs educational organizations, teaching like basic liberty values. And he actually uses the U.S. Constitution with some of it. So if you're a Constitution lover, send a little money to Kofi, and he will use it to help teach the Constitution in Africa. Think about that. And he does
Full disclosure for people who would hate on us and Google it and find out that we're on the board. We are on the board of Africa.
Because we want to be.
But really, it just means our name's on a document.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a little side thing, and that was we don't usually do live reads, they call them, which are ads in the program. I just thought of that. I mean, he's a great guy, and he does great things with tiny amounts of money. I mean, Ghana, the average income is $1,100 a year. So people who can live on $1,100 a year, think about what they can do with $300, which my dad's Rotary sent him that, and ISIL matched it. They will often match funds, and yeah, it's a good thing. So back to tyranny. We talked about liberty for 1 minute today, and it was a good thing. Let's go back to tyranny. Go, back commie, tyranny. Go. Go, Irish commie, go.
Yeah,
I like this lady. I wish there were more politicians like her. You know, and they always say they want to have a debate, a reasonable debate, which basically means we're going to tell you why we're going to take your guns, then we're going to take them. But
yeah,
you know, I think this is a reasonable debate. This lady's screaming the truth, and they're trying to shut her up, and she keeps going. That's a reasonable debate to me.
Yeah, I agree. And it's also really heartening to me to see Europeans rejecting Barack Obama, because they were so on the bandwagon during the last 4 years. And it was so sad that they weren't calling him out for his hypocrisy, that there wasn't a giant uproar from the European community when he won the Nobel Peace Prize and then increased drone strikes, as this Irish parliamentarian pointed out. And there's also a really great video on YouTube floating around right now. Where this guy, he's a NYU student, gives a thing called Drone Stream. And he shows this video. I don't think he made it, but it's a great visualization.
It was his thesis. It was his master's thesis.
I think the video was a collaborative thing. I don't know if he actually made technologically the video, but I guess that's irrelevant. But there's a video that shows beautifully this representation of how the drone strikes just flood in after Barack Obama takes office, and the amount of death just increases. That swimming pool of blood, the Olympic-sized swimming pool of blood, just fills up, and you can almost see Barack Obama rising out of it, just dripping like some kind of death clock video.
Yeah. And to be fair, if there is fair in such a discussion, I think no matter who the president became after Bush, he would have increased it, because that's how things go. I mean,
not if it was Ron Paul.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And Ron Paul wouldn't have been able to create LibPair or Libertarian Paradise overnight, but he literally could have done a bunch of things his first day that would have made the world a better place for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, he really could
have. Except the people making money off making bombs to kill children.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that old canard about how war is great for the economy. Well, yeah, if you're a war profiteer, but
so it's not great for the economy historically. And to bring it around, really, we started this whole thing with talking about what the Boston bombers wrote inside a boat, yo, when they were about to be captured. You know, kind of a last will and testament. I mean, they say that a dying declaration can be admitted in law. And I guess this is. He thought he was going to die. And they're using it as evidence of like, oh, look what he was planning. But it's a perfect explanation. And he was a horrible, horrible person. And we don't agree with what he did. But people who agree with the war machine and back it have to look at the cyclical nature of they're doing the same thing, man. They killed us, so we killed them, so they killed us, so we killed them, so they killed us, so we killed them. Going all the way back to Abraham had two sons. And we'll have a conclusion of our tweak and review coming up here on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yo, it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review.
Wow. arms.
Yes, this is a segment we do after the show is just about over in our last segment, where we touch on a few of the bullet points that we went over with on the preceding show.
We like bullets on the Fiends.
Ah, yes, we do and like their bullets. Points as well. So yes. I think first up, we didn't spend too much time on this, but I thought it was interesting, man. Cop shows promote the police state, and Michael's been watching Dragnet.
Since 1970.
Pointed but out recently. That it was done in conjunction with the LAPD. Yes, that bastion of beating you up, the LAPD. And one of the things that cop shows do is they promote the police and what they are doing over the rights of the accused. And you pointed out how people who love cops and claim themselves as conservatives will often be upset, even though they are tend to love the Constitution. They'll be upset when a defendant uses the Constitution to his own advantage. How hypocritical is that, Michael?
Whether he's a real criminal like a murderer or, you know, a fake criminal that is only criminalized because of the state like a weed grower.
Exactly.
Or a gun owner.
Yeah, yeah. And that brings us to statism and collectivism, also put as my state can beat up your state.
Statism is collectivism. That's like saying, yeah, daylight and sunlight.
Yeah, exactly. But it's important to point out that when somebody says something like, you know, if you kill one of us, you've killed all of us and we will retaliate against all of you. That's sort of the root cause of a lot of these historical atrocities. And it's a dangerous concept. It's a dangerous way of thinking. You know, and this is what we are trying to attack. We're not trying to attack anybody in the government, anybody in the bureaucracy, any specific individual, because what it is it's this idea of collectivism and collective punishment that leads to so much horror in the world. And if you can beat it with the ideas of volunteerism and freedom and the fact that everybody is an individual, they are only responsible for themselves and the things that their individual actions produce in the world. And you can't go and attack their brother or sister just because they attacked you. And you can't go attack their family or their neighborhood or their state or their nation just because they attacked you. At least you can't do that and still hold to the non-aggression principle and still hold to any sense of moral consistency. And so, yeah, we went through a lot of atrocities, and a lot of what it is it's people fighting within this framework of statism for control over people. They're fighting because they want to be the ones at the top of the monopoly of violence. That's a term that political scientists use to describe states. You know, not states in the sense that we talk about, but nation states in the sense that the federal government in D.C. has the monopoly of violence over everywhere in between the Rio Grande and the northern Canadian border and plenty of other places throughout the world.
Everywhere now. And when you say not the way we use state, you mean not the way Americans say, like the state of Wyoming or the state of Texas. Generally, unless we specify on the scenes, the fiends, when we say the state, we mean in the geopolitical worldwide sense. And pretty much the state everywhere outside of America means the country. And it only means states in America because America had a different setup than most countries, where it was supposed to be basically originally 13, now 50 individual countries under one banner, which is the reason that state laws differ from place to place. And a lot of most people, federalists like Obama, want to change that to where there's federal bad, harsh laws everywhere. You know, I would say Obama is the natural he pretends to be the lineage of Jefferson, but he's really the lineage of Hamilton, man. And Lincoln, because Lincoln killed Americans who disagreed with him.
Yeah, although Lincoln was a racist and would have hated the idea of Barack Obama.
Absolutely.
That half, even though he's only half black, but that half black person being in the White House. And our next point, socialism and communism are both just forms of collectivism. So we had this Irish parliamentarian railing against the awfulness of Barack Obama killing a lot of innocent people.
We loved it.
But then going on and saying that, hey, all this tax money should be stolen still, but used for different purposes. And it's the theft that is the problem originally. You know, you don't care if the mugger steals from you and then goes and donates it to the homeless shelter. No, you only care that the mugger stole from you.
Yeah. And we're going to have a good interview tomorrow on the Freedom Fiends with Mike Vandebau. Thanks for tuning in with the Freedom Fiends live on the radio.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.